What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Kat seems to always waste Saturday nights with me. So, Kat, how you doing?
Well, I'd probably be better if I had a life, but, God, here I am again. I'm great. How are you?
Yes, put on a good face. And you know what, guys? I tried, but Jillian's back this week. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Hello! I feel like a guest on my own show. No, not to go into personal stuff, but I've had a lot of personal stuff come up. And then when I was ready to head back into the show, I got that wicked bug that's been going around and it put me out for about a week and a half. So there's still some stuff. And again, I won't go into it that may be popping up randomly, but technically I'm back and shouldn't be gone for extended periods of time anymore, hoping. So hi. Whether you like it or not, I'm back, so deal with it.
And we get to prove for once that Kat and Jillian are not just the different sides of the split personality, right?
Yes. Oh, really? Is there a theory that we're the same person?
I'm positing that theory.
So now there is.
There is now.
I don't know. I guess we could be cosplaying as each other. We're actually twins.
Oh, my God. We should do that.
Let's just get right into this week's.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So did you guys watch that commercial I sent you of the Appleton attorney, Eric, I think his name is pronounced Pitch, P-I-T-S-C-H, Pitch, where he basically has a commercial that is airing on TV here, almost blatantly says, doesn't matter if you did the crime, I'll make sure you don't do the time.
He's just being honest. That is a lawyer's job to get people off. That's my night job, though, but in a different way.
Well, it sounds like he's definitely telling people what they want to hear. It's horrible, though.
The thing that offended me the most, and I'm going to play the whole commercial in a moment for you guys, was he's got this drunk guy who seems drunk in the commercial that usually you go, I was accused of a crime, or I was arrested for a crime. This guy just blatantly goes, yeah, I drove drunk and Eric Pitch got me off. And I'm like, what kind of blatant honesty is that?
I don't really have much to say on this. I mean, it is a dumbest. It's pretty black and white, straightforward, where he's being honest. And let's be honest, everybody, no matter if you do something and you fuck up, you're gonna want somebody that can get you off, you know? I mean,
well, and I don't disagree with that. I think everyone is entitled to a defense, but usually lawyers use those words like the accused, not, yeah, I did it, and I did no joke. It's almost like the guy is bragging that I drove drunk. I got arrested for it, but I didn't do any jail time. You should call Eric Pitch.
Okay, but maybe it was his first offense, and nothing bad happened, and he got, like, a year community service, so I don't know. Probably not, and I don't really care. Don't drink and drive, kids.
I know a little bit of the behind the scenes of this. I know the director of this commercial, the drunk driving guy. When he came in, he seemed drunk, and they had to blur out the bar t-shirt he was wearing from the bar he was arrested drunk driving from. I have a feeling this is not a first offense.
Well, at least we know that it isn't fake casting like you see in some commercials where it's blatantly an actor or somebody that didn't really go through it. So, you know, it's legit.
Inspired by real life events.
The following commercial is based on a true story. The names have been changed to protect the guilty we got off.
So I'm just going to, so people don't think I'm exaggerating. You obviously can't see the guy almost wobbling from side to side, but I'm going to play the audio right now so you guys can hear. We're not making this up. The guy is blatantly saying, I don't care if you did it. I don't care if you admit you did it. I'll make sure you don't do jail time.
I made a mistake and I was picked up for a DUI. I recommend attorney Eric Pitch. He gets cases dismissed.
I'm attorney Eric Pitch, and if you're worried about the consequences, I can help.
I'm James Kirsch, a psychotherapist, and I recommend attorney Pitch.
Let the experienced lawyers at Pitch Law Offices help you with your criminal or drunk driving problems today. Call or go to pitchlaw.com for your free consultation.
Criminal or DUI, I've helped many others, and I can help you.
There was a couple of recent fake offenses. People seem to get offended at, well, anything nowadays.
Well, they're not sorry, they're not fake offenses. They're just blowing it out of proportion because they're not faking being offended. They're just probably shouldn't be and are.
But there are things that, what my point is, there are things that are not offensive. For instance, the Natasha Lorago joke that was made on New Year's Eve at SpaghettiOs, which apparently got turned into World War II veterans. But what happened was comedian Natasha Leggero, I think is how her name is pronounced, she was on New Year's Eve with Carson Daly Live, and on Pearl Harbor Day, SpaghettiOs tweeted, "Remember, take a moment to remember Pearl Harbor with us." So they were making fun of that.
How is that making fun of it?
Well, because SpaghettiOs, not really what you think of as, yeah, when I think of who I want to remember Pearl Harbor, SpaghettiOs. This is where the controversy comes in. Leggero added, "It sucks that the only survivors of Pearl Harbor are being mocked by the only food they can still chew." Somehow, that joke was construed as a shot at World War II veterans and that she was disparaging veterans. No, it wasn't!
Okay, I'll agree it's blatantly not something horribly offensive. I mean, you really can't control what people are going to take offense to, so I don't think it's quote-unquote fake offensive. However, I don't think that SpaghettiOs was making a joke out of it. I think it was just a company being like, hey, let's remember it's Pearl Harbor Day. They weren't making a joke of veterans either. So it's almost on both ends taking things out of proportion.
I think her joke was funny. You know, like, they're so old, all they can eat is SpaghettiOs because they don't have any teeth. I totally think that's hilarious, and I don't think that that's disrespectful. That's just, in general, making fun of old people.
Right, well, and it was relating it to something a company said, but I really don't think, and I mean, again, I don't give a shit about her joke. I don't think it was offensive, but I am kind of responding to what you said, Josh, on SpaghettiOs supposedly making fun
that's
of Pearl
people,
Harbor, and I don't think
were,
they are.
That's what people were thinking. But then
they're overreacting to that as well. So we've just got overreaction all around.
Oh, trust me, there's another one coming. But there's a nice little tag to the story of what Leggero did. Not only did she refuse to apologize, because usually whenever anyone's called out for something offensive, they apologize right away. Not only did she refuse to apologize, her non-apology was absolutely brilliant. I'm going to read it here.
You're also pronouncing her name wrong. I don't think it's Leggero.
Lorego? I don't know. I've never heard
Leggero.
Of her.
But there's yeah, it's Leggero.
Leggero, okay.
There's no I-O. I don't know where you're getting E-O.
I'm going to read whatever her name is, non-apology. Quoting here, "Do we really believe that the people who fought and defended our freedom against Nazis and the Axis powers will find a joke about SpaghettiOs too much to bear? Sorry, I have more respect for veterans than to think their honor can be impugned by a glamorous, charming comedian in a fur hat. On the one hand, you have me making a joke about how old people can't chew tough foods very well. On the other hand, you have veterans who receive inadequate care upon their return from active duty, rampant sexual assault against female soldiers, staggering rates of suicide, traumatic brain injury, PTSD, substance abuse and depression among soldiers, and political gridlock that prevents these problems from getting solved quickly. Where do you think their outrage and action would be better served? Calling me a cunt or doing something about the problems?" Unquote. That's a brilliant non-apology.
Yeah, she has a point there, because in any public relations thing, it's like, oh, I'm sorry I said that. I think it's funny that in her non-apology, she refers to herself as a glamorous, charming comedian in a fur hat. It's like, how could they be offended by me? But honestly, you could pretty much, if she made a joke about old people in general, it would be the exact same thing. And honestly, again, this is a case of people getting offended on behalf of people they think would be offended. And the veterans, if they're probably watching TV and they don't even know who the fuck those people are. And I really don't think they're going to sit there and be like, what? How dare they imply I can only eat mushy foods?
I just love that she takes the time to point out real problems instead of these bullshit fake problems that always seem to eat up the media time. I just think that was brilliant.
And you know what actually is probably what should have been the controversial thing, even though I think it was funny, was what Jane Lynch said to her. "I'm offended because they were referring to SpaghettiOs as pasta."
Yeah, I love
that. I thought that was funny.
I am Italian, and I am just severely offended, and I'm going to tweet the Twitterverse, and we're gonna fix this. We're gonna right the wrongs.
But in all honesty, I do want to call her out for that brilliant non-apology where she actually focused on real issues while not apologizing. I respect her for that. I really do.
I agree. I just don't understand the origin of the joke anyways, because I don't think SpaghettiOs was making fun, but that's a different topic. I don't think she was out of line making the joke in correlation.
Well, then we also have another case of, first of all, I didn't even know Aldi sold t-shirts. I thought Aldi was a grocery store, but what do I know, apparently?
They occasionally sell other things, too. They have, like, a whole aisle full of, you can get electronic equipment, or they have, like, some random toys for the kids. So it's kind of like that random aisle, and I think they're just trying to incorporate, we're not just food.
Okay, because I've only been in an Aldi, I think, 3 times in my life, and it was for food.
Well, aren't you Mr. Fancy Pants shopping at non-Aldi places?
Okay, so Aldi, as Jillian pointed out, apparently does carry t-shirts. Well, they got in trouble for one of the t-shirts they were going to sell. Strangely enough, the t-shirt, all it said was, Australia, established 1788. That's all it said. But apparently that is racist to indigenous Australians who, quote, inhabited the continent for thousands of years before Europeans arrived. What the fuck kind of controversy is this? First of all, I want to point out, Australia was established in 1788. There may have been people there before that, but it was not called Australia then. This is no slight against, well, you were not Australians because it wasn't Australia. What the fuck is the controversy? They're being called racist for this.
That's the same as with America. There were people here before we were, and I will bet you anything. So it's kind of the same idea with the U.S., and I guess if Australians are pissy at the point of, you know, the date they're saying, you know, look at what we say the birthday of America is. When there were other people here, so...
Is that a slight to
not,
these Indians?
Yeah, it wasn't established at 17... Oh, no, don't say Indians, because apparently, and this happened in one of the midnight screenings, there was this big hubbub over the correct term between Native American and Indians and all of that. And actually, this kind of is related, because we had Native American / Indian people on the comments saying, actually, we're fine, you know, with Indian. Native American was kind of... put on us, and it's one of those things where any culture or race, they're gonna have different opinions based on what you believe and what you think you're gonna get offended by on what's offensive. So I'm sure there's a bunch of other Australians that are like, you people are crazy, kind of like with us, you know, where we live, being like, how can you be offended by this? So there is really no set line on what's okay. And I just think we live in an era where people are just too fucking sensitive and have sticks up their asses. And, you know, these poor kids, and this is kind of another subject matter that I'm sure will be in the future, that are just growing up in such sheltered homes are going to have a culture shock when they get out in the real world. And I am just so sick of this being offended over the most minute shit that isn't offended, and people throwing out the racist card when it's not racist. It's like, you cannot say anything to someone of a different race anymore for fear of being called a racist if it's something negative. And we've talked about this before, where you can be in a restaurant and someone is being obnoxiously loud, and if you say, hey, can you please keep it down, you're a racist.
Devil's advocate here, we're not from Australia. So who are we to say how important this is to Australian social politics? This could be a big deal in Australia. This could genuinely offend the Aboriginal people of Australia, who probably aren't having a great time.
How Aboriginal of a thought of you.
The thing I want to point out is the quote here is, the decision to remove the garments was taken following comments by a limited number of concerned customers. What is a limited number? So was there maybe 400 people or 300 or less that were tweeting on this, and they're like, oh, well, this might blow up into a huge thing, so we should probably take it down? Because saying a limited number kind of infers that it wasn't that huge of an uproar.
Then why pull the shirts in at all?
Because
you could just tell these people, get the fuck over it.
So I'm going to go ahead and walk the line and go Aldi, Australian for spineless.
That's probably the perfect way we could end this segment.
You know, folks, I've been doing this show with Josh for, I don't know, what, 2 years now, Josh?
We're right about 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, we've been doing this for about 2 years, and then it burgeoned into a full-fledged hour-long heart attack, if folks didn't know.
A full-on spinoff.
And one of the things that I'm continually astounded by is just how stupidly corrupt our elected officials are. It's not just in California. In fact, I thought Los Angeles corruption was cowboy country, but I was wrong. Going home, I just came back from being in Chicago for a week. I went back to take care of my mom. That's right. I'm a big angry dude, but at the same time, I take care of my mother. She had surgery, she had a lap band, and she had a hernia repaired. And I'll tell you the truth, Jotha, I was fucking worried about it. She's 70 years old.
Well,
and I
any
was really...
surgery, you should be worried about it. That's normal, man.
Yeah, I was concerned. And, you know, she was going to have nobody there for her. So I bought a ticket and I flew back to make sure someone was there with her when she gets home from the surgery. And I'm goddamn glad I did, because it was crazy because she'd been out here in L.A. visiting my brother and I for the holidays. And while she was gone, her cats fucking wrecked her house. I mean, they were mad that she was gone for 3 weeks. And so they shit everywhere. And because of the crazy weather in Chicago, yeah, I went back for the deep chill. But being a Viking, I fucking loved it. And it gave me a chance to wear my furry pimp coat. But getting back to Chicago, I get home, we get back the night before the surgery. I get in at midnight, the surgery. I got to get up at 5 a.m. the next morning. And according to Chicago time, I would normally be getting up at 6 a.m. or going to sleep at 6 a.m. in Chicago. So my body clock was fucked. We go to the hospital. We go through it. I come back. She makes it through her surgery. The doctor says it's okay. She's drugged out of her mind. I go home and I start the fucking pickup. And man, one cat had fucking filled the bathtub with shit. Not like up to the rim, but the whole bottom half of the tub was filled with shit. Can you imagine that, dude?
I have two cats, and I've only had one incident of them not using the litter box.
Well, these motherfuckers, and we're not talking Tiny Tim cats. These are big fucking cats, and they take big old shits. I spent most of my time clearing up the house and getting the kitty litter out and trying to make it sanitary for her, you know? She's got a bum knee, and it's kind of hard for her to get around sometimes. So it's a damn good thing I went back. And when I went back, I got to meet up with some old friends of mine, some childhood friends. And they were blowing my mind with what's going on in Chicago. To start off with, Josh, there's cameras set up at three different stoplights my mom had to warn me about. And here's where it's weird, all right? I don't mind if you've got a camera up to get people running the red light. But what these cameras are instead doing, if you don't stop exactly on the stop line, they give you a ticket for running a red. Not because you ran the red, but because you didn't stop completely on the stop line.
Green Bay does the same thing.
That's fucked. That's not running a red light, folks. That is not running a red light. You came to a complete stop. Running a red light is when you go through the intersection. So that's fucking surveillance state one. Surveillance state two, I've got a couple of friends that are in education, and I stayed in touch with some of my teachers from when I was in school. And the things, and kids, I was talking to some of my friends' kids who were in school. One kid was telling me, he can't even draw a picture of a gun in art class.
Oh, no. Jillian and I did a topic a couple of months ago, maybe 6 months ago. A kid had a Pop-Tart, and he chewed it into the general shape of a gun.
I know about that. But we're talking about a drawing in art class. And I come home, and my wife's telling me about some kid who got pulled out of school. He drew a superhero shooting flames out of his hands. Isn't that what superheroes do? When the fuck did we start arresting children for drawing drawings?
That's the problem with zero tolerance. It has what? Zero tolerance.
What the fuck does zero tolerance have to do with drawing, like, let's say, Superman shooting his heat beams out of his fucking eyes, which you could see in any movie marketed to children?
Any comic book, any incarnation of Superman has the fucking heat vision. How about freeze breath? Is his breath a weapon now?
Well, I'm blown away. And then the girls that I was talking to, like, oh, yeah, you can't even talk about guns. You can't even discuss a school shooting. So, you know, Josh, what you were saying about a chilling effect happening in the schools, it is. It was really disturbing to me what these kids were telling me about. I mean, me and my friends, when we were bored in school, we would sit there and I'd draw like a scuba diver. And then my buddy would draw like a farmer killing him with a pitchfork. Then I would draw a werewolf killing that guy. And then he'd draw like a pit bull eating my guy. And then I would draw like a cop arresting him. And then he would draw like a fireman setting him on fire. You know what I mean? Like, we'd go back and forth. That would get me a psych eval now. What the fuck?
It's called zero tolerance, and what that means is you don't look at the situation, the circumstances.
What's the tolerance of a superhero shooting fire out of his hand?
Yeah, he's a superhero. He's a comic book character.
What's the zero tolerance there? It's a superhero. He doesn't even have a gun. He's just shooting fire out of his hand.
But shooting is the word you just used there. It doesn't matter whether it's a gun. You're still shooting something.
What a bunch of bullshit. Are they saying you can't draw an aspirin because 130,000 Americans are killed by prescription drugs every year? But no, 11,000 gun deaths. Oh, I'm sorry. If you put the 19,000 suicides in there, let's say 30,000 gun deaths in there. 30,000 gun deaths and you're not allowed to draw a gun. But 130,000 dead people. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. Somebody's making a lot more money from those drugs, aren't they, Josh?
Zero tolerance for drugs also means kids, 12-year-olds, have been arrested for bringing Advil to school because the schools have a zero tolerance drug policy. And aspirin is considered a drug. One kid had St. Joseph's chewable children aspirin. He was suspended, violated the zero tolerance for drugs policy.
So while they're telling the kids you can't even draw a gun, we've got a man named Representative Derek Smith in Chicago who was arrested on federal bribery charges. And guess what? He had easily defeated his challenger, Tom Swiss, in the Chicago Democratic race for the 10th district seat in the Illinois House. All right. Well, here's where things get interesting. One, they had super low turnout for the vote. So guess what? That means only idiots and fanatics showed up to vote. This is why I tell people it's important to vote. So practically nobody comes out to vote. And this guy Smith, whose opponent, Mr. Swiss, is a white guy who in the advertising was portraying himself as a black man. No joke. A white guy was putting up all these ads as if he was a black man. Okay, so he's running against this Smith guy. In some of his ads, he was racially mixed. And it's like, what the fuck? And this other dude, Smith, he didn't just get caught by anybody. He was arrested by the FBI as part of an FBI sting. Federal prosecutors said an undercover investigation found he accepted $7,000 to write a letter of recommendation for a daycare center that he thought was seeking a state grant. Mr. Smith allegedly accepted $7,000 in cash from the aide in exchange for the recommendation letter. That's right, he's taken $7,000 in cash to cough up a recommendation letter for a fucking daycare center that wanted a state grant. So let's get this clear here, folks. This is an elected representative taking bribes to write letters so people can get taxpayer money, okay? But guess what? The aide was cooperating with the FBI, who had set up a sting. The daycare center itself was real, but the owner Smith was allegedly trying to help was fake. And this motherfucker still got elected. And guess what? If he gets arrested, he's still going to get paid as a representative. Even if he
That's
goes
the way it
in.
Works. Yes. Politicians, when they go to jail, they still draw their paychecks.
And I will say this. He only won the primary. OK, so we'll see what happens with the general election. I'm just flabbergasted that this guy hasn't dropped out of the race as it is. And then my telling me
Hart, Marion Barry was caught smoking crack with a hooker on video and won re-election.
Hey, you know what? I think that's different. What a man does with his dick and his whore on his own time and his drugs is not a man in the mayor's office smoking crack in the mayor's office and getting blowjobs from a hooker in the mayor's office while he's working. All right? This gentleman was taking bribes to give away state money. How many more bribes has he taken to give away taxpayers' money? That's the issue. That is the issue for me. And the fact that he hasn't stepped down. Well, I found out that in Illinois, as in most of the country, a lot of these people will run specifically just to build up their political coffers. Because apparently, if you don't win, you can keep your money. How's that sound? You keep all the political contributions. So there's people that run that have no interest in even winning.
The people, and I mean the voters, will never surprise me on this. Nor will the politicians, Hart. What you're basically saying is corruption is so rampant that we don't even get surprised by it anymore. And
my buddy,
I wish I could say you were wrong, but you're not.
My buddy was telling me about one political campaigner in Chicago who you need to get signatures so you could get on the ballot. And what this guy did is he faked a notary. You have to have it notarized by the public, which says it's real. Well, they put a fake notary seal on there. They never notarized it. They fucking lied. It's fraud. And the fine is $1,000 per signature. They're still on the ticket and they haven't had to pay any fine. Now on that, I'm going to leave you guys with that thought and tell you again, this is why you vote. Because if you vote, it is harder for these assholes to get in. They are getting in because only fucking fanatics and crazy Christians, and that's why they cater to the religious right. This is why people cater to these kinds of things. This is why you go, why are they catering to that crazy person? Well, they're catering to the crazy person because a crazy person votes. If you voted your right as an American, you would have your problems dealt with. So, on that note, I'm Hart Fisher. It's been a pleasure ranting at you with my good friend here, Mr. Josh Hadley. If you want to get in touch with us, you can online. You can find me on Twitter, Hart_Fisher. You could find me on Facebook, as in facebook.com/heartattackradio. Check out the stories we don't have time to cover on the show on the Facebook page. You will be blown away. And buy some shirts. Go to AmericanHorrors.com/store. Go to 1201beyond.com. Buy some products. This is how Josh and I feed our families. Thanks a lot, folks. I'm out of here.
Death to save your useless flag. You want a banana republic that destroy society in a day until we change ourselves first from the inside out. We can start by not lying so much and treating other people like dirt. It's so easy not to base our lives on how much we can stand. You know, it feels good to lift that monkey up off the back. Time for the living. Let's say the things to do with that. Be taken out and shot. Swan of God against the goons. Trying to take my rights away. We've got to rise above the need for cops and laws. Let kids learn communication. Instead of schools pushing competition. About moron theater instead of sports. Even though it's jobs, let's legalize them. Crime drops from the market price them. Budgets in the red. Let's taxi the hitchhike. No one. All the system's much more fun! Thanks for the toilet paper, it's actually less to me. Look around, we're all people who these countries anyway. I think I love it too, I think I love it more than you. I care enough to fight the stars and stripes of corruption. Let's bring it on down, let's bring it on down, let's bring it on down. If we don't try, if we just fly, if we can't find.
Okay, and our second segment, well, third if you count dumbest thing, I don't know, it's don't be offended by how we number our segments.
Is on, I'm sure somebody will be. That seems to be the flavor now.
I am offended that you don't consider dumbest thing a segment because you guys talk. Okay, this is, you may have seen this coming around Facebook, and it's a little older. They're done with their fundraising. It's about anti-rapewear. They made their goal of over $50,000. It was an Indiegogo type thing, albeit it's a good concept, you know, and an honorable intent behind it. But I don't buy it. I don't think the concept is as solid as they're making it out to be. The majority of information was in a video. And they start out as kind of, this does the opposite of what infomercials usually do, where, and you don't really see a whole lot of infomercials anymore, where it's like, if it's for a bra, they show like, do you have problems with your bra? And it's like some crazy person that can't reach behind, and it's getting caught in her hair, and it's just, it's unrealistic. This goes the opposite way and kind of under-exaggerates it. Basically, they have this fabric and this structure, and it is impervious to cutting or using a knife, which is, you know, important and it'll stay on you. And they do show, you know, the cutting and the knifing. However, just kind of how it's put together and how they show it in the infomercial where, you know, the girl's kind of pulling on it because they claim that you're the only one that can take it off. And so if an attacker is unable to take off your pants and get to you, it's more likely that you won't get raped. Here's my issue. When they show her pulling down, it does give a bit. They're showing two people on either side of her pulling down with their first two fingers, you know, in the side. And it's just ever so slightly, and it's giving a little bit. And it's like, a rapist is going to try and yank that shit down. If you're going to sell it that this is going to protect me, really pull on that stuff. The clasp is kind of elaborate to where it's kind of this clockwise motion you have to lock that pretty much you can only do from your angle. And they advertise it as being safe for when you go clubbing on a first date, running, going out of the country. First of all, I've gone clubbing, and if I'm drunk, yeah, I'm going to be afraid of being attacked if I'm walking around alone. I'm not going to be able to undo that fucking clasp in the video. I've worn stuff with way less complicated mechanisms than I have trouble using the restroom.
I'm just picturing a drunk girl forgetting how to do this and just pissing her pants.
But yeah, they're talking about studies show that resisting sexual assault lessens the chance of a rape taking place without increasing the violence of an attack. I call bullshit. Yeah, 10 years ago or way down the line, they were saying that, you know, well, don't resist this and that. It's like, most people, unless you're drugged or they have a knife to your throat or a gun, you're gonna fucking resist. You know, and rape still happens. And that being said, if they have a weapon, you're going to take your fucking pants off versus getting shot or knifed.
If they have a knife to your throat, they're going to go, unlock this bitch or I'm cutting your throat.
The study they're talking about, they link to one article.
This is an article written by a criminal justice person at the University of Illinois in Chicago, basically going over behavior and changes on thoughts of rape defense in the last 10 years. Even in the article, it states that additional, you know, studies and different circumstances, the psychology versus, you know, sitting there and letting it happen versus fighting back. They're saying a lot of times if shouting doesn't work, it can deter the attack, but more often than not, you have to get really physical.
Do you remember a couple of years ago, Jillian, there was one that where somebody was like, the woman should piss on herself to deter the attacker because then it'll gross him out so much he won't want to...
That's what I would fucking do.
To me, that okay, whether you do that or not, that seems kind of like stupid advice almost. Just piss yourself.
It's kind of hard to do on command.
Well, if you're pretty drunk, you might be...
I mean, yeah, if you've had enough drinks.
A set rule or guideline to say that this is definitely going to protect you from an attack or this is more likely, because rape is about power. And to me, someone would get more frustrated. I mean, yeah, if you're in a random situation and someone tries to grab you or whatever and they're trying to yank down your pants and, you know, you get away, I don't think that under normal circumstances, having this elaborately clasped, unable to cut garment is necessarily going to keep you safer. And in fact, I could see the attacker getting severely upset and beating the crap out of you until you do so. And then you're also going to have a situation where, okay, you're in a possible rape situation and they have a weapon to you and they're like, take it off, take it off, and your hands are freaking shaking, you can't get the clasp off. To me, this is more dangerous. I mean, that's just how I'm looking at it. And again, they only cite one article, and it's more so written as a paper in the changes. And I really call shenanigans on the whole, you know, that this is going to necessarily protect you over not having it, because more often than not, you're gonna be in a situation where they're gonna make you take it off. You know, yeah, they might not be able to cut it off. You've also got situations where if this blows up and becomes a thing, there's gonna be information on, you know, how to take it off. And if there's more than one person attacking you, they can stand over your head and do it. And again, the part that gets me the most is the if you're going clubbing or on a first date, it's like, really, you gotta lock it up when you're going on a first date. That's kind of, maybe you shouldn't be going on a date with this person.
I think that says more about the guys she's dating than anything else.
Right, and I'm sorry, if you're going clubbing, no, you don't want to wear some crazy, clapsy, complicated thing that you have to be cognizant of that you're doing when you're sober. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to get it off.
Okay, Kat, as the other female, before I interject, what are your thoughts on the anti-rape wear?
I kind of agree with Jillian. It's a nice idea. I don't think the science is really behind it, but I think inevitably that this is more built for the really paranoid people who just want to feel safe. Like, I think that's the only real protection it's going to do is give the wearer the illusion of safety. And maybe that's all it'll ever do. And, you know, until we see some more science behind it, who knows what the hell could really happen. But I'd say it's a nice idea. It's heart is in the right place. And certainly a lot of people got behind it and wanted to throw some money its way. I can't say that I would ever wear anything that complicated. But I kind of think that the situations that they threw it into were a little too specific. The whole, if you're going to go on a first date with a guy or you're going clubbing, or the one that really got me was if you're traveling in foreign countries, because obviously if you're going to a foreign country, you're going to get assaulted because every foreign country is super dangerous.
Excuse me, Kat. I've seen all three Hostel movies.
And Taken.
And Taken as well. Yeah. So it happens.
Well, yeah, it happens, but you can also get assaulted coming out of the Walmart parking lot. You know, I mean, it's not going to be one of those situations, really. It's like if someone's determined to rape you, that's going to frustrate them that they can't get your undergarments off. And, you know, if they've got a weapon, which, you know, does happen a lot, you're going to take them off for them. And in fact, it
seems more dangerous because you're not going to be in your right mind to be doing some complicated thing, and they're going to be like, take it off, and you're freaking out.
It could exacerbate the situation,
honestly.
That's
what I'm saying.
Well, is this not the case where we value a woman's sexual well-being more than we value their life? Because it seems to me like if you're going to get attacked over this, we seem to care more about getting raped than we do getting assaulted.
And it's like, if you're going to fight back, you're going to fight back. You know, the point is, if you're pinned down to a point where they're trying to rip your undergarments off, it doesn't look good. I mean, it's going to be a situation where you're already there, and yeah, you can be fighting, but I think they're looking at a minority of attacks that maybe just are, you know, random at bars, and you can maybe get away like in an alley or whatever, or somebody come to your aid. But a lot of these situations, it's more so, you know, you scream and I'll fucking slit your throat, or there's just something there to where they're not fighting back because their life has been threatened. I really don't think any woman is just going to be like, oh, I'm being attacked, you know, just sit there. You know what I mean? Like that's your first fight or flight instinct. And then you don't fight back when your life is in danger.
It's almost like this is predicated on back in the 70s in New York, a DJ got in a lot of trouble for the Just Lie Back campaign. And I think that this is kind of predicated on that. Just lie back. They'll get frustrated when they can't take it off, and you'll be fine. I don't think that's usually the outcome. But there's something else here, too. This is not well thought out for anything except anti-rape clothes. Okay, the stuff's uncuttable. They show scissors and knives and stuff, that the stuff will not stretch past a certain point. It will not cut. You cannot pull them down, etc. The girl that they're doing this to, the test model, she has decent hips and kind of a rounder butt. So she has more for the shorts to get caught on. What if you've got a flat butt and no hips? I would think these would slide right off.
Well, no, I mean, there's the snap adjustments, so it's like a skeletal structure.
Okay, you're walking across the street, you've got your anti-rape wear clothes on, you get, bam! Plowed by a taxi. The EMTs are going to have to cut your clothes off to work on you, but this is now uncuttable. They can't unlock it. They can't cut it. There are medical needs where the doctors, the EMTs, need to remove your clothing.
Oh, yeah.
You've just made it more difficult for them to give you emergency treatment.
More likely to get hit by a car or raped? Because I'm kind of curious about these statistics.
Not even necessarily hit by a car, but, you know, joggers, things like that. You're running through the park, something happens to where, you know, shit happens. And yeah, it's unlikely, but at the same time, these situations, other than going out and maybe getting plastered or putting yourself in not so good areas at not so, you know, prone types of night and you want to feel safer, things do happen, you know, and even not so much getting hit by a car, but in a car accident, you know, where they have to get to a vein or, you know, stop bleeding.
That's not a sexual thing. That's a life-saving thing. You've just made it that much more difficult to get medical attention.
Yeah, I had completely forgot about that aspect. This has been going around for a little bit, and I, of course, you know, was gone for so long, and that was one of the things that we talked about when this first came about, so I'm sorry.
It's hard to say anything that Jillian isn't already saying, because like it's a really good point that you are just as likely to endanger yourself using these as you are to prevent anything.
Do you think then that there is a weird psychological side effect that these might have? Like, let's say for just the sake of this argument, these work really, really good, okay? And they would deter the rapist. Do you think that it would have put the woman into a more dangerous situation, that if she were just wearing just panties and a skirt, that she would have avoided, because she'd kind of go, they can't rape me. I might as well go into this van with these guys because nothing's going to happen.
That's what I was saying, is just this false sense of security of being
you know, kind of like, oh, well, no, I'm good. And so that's what I'm saying, is being prone to more danger by that false sense of security, whereas otherwise maybe you could have gotten out of it or avoided it. Sorry, go ahead.
You're not going to think, well, maybe they won't stab me because I'm wearing anti-rape clothes. I think people are still going to be capable of making good decisions. They're not going to go get into some white van or something. I agree pretty much with everything Jillian said. I really feel like with the way this clothing works, that it really kind of brings the idea that we value preventing a woman from getting raped than from preventing a woman from being, I don't know, like near dead assaulted. Like, I think it's like, maybe here's this beautiful virgin girl and we care more about her virginity than possibly her getting killed. Because we value that more, and that is, like, so biblical, it's ridiculous.
So would you say, then, that they're focusing on the wrong aspect of this?
Well, I honestly, I don't know what they could be focusing on other than, you know, making some fucking Batman suit that turns knives and stops bullets and shit. I know they address this on their page, but it implies that you are expecting to get raped and that somehow it's going to happen to you. And of course it's always nice to, you know, have a backup just in case, be prepared, whatever, but it just sort of brings in this culture that all women should at all times, you know, should go out expecting something to happen. And it brings this kind of sense of, even though it is offering protection, it brings this feeling that you should be in fear when you go to the club or you go on a date or you go traveling in another country. You should always be absolutely terrified, very specifically, that you are always going to be raped. You can get assaulted and it won't always be rape. You can get mugged. You can have your wallet stolen, your purse stolen. Anything could happen. And you're going to walk around feeling like you are prepared for these situations because you're wearing a special pair of shorts.
I actually think, Kat, they want that kind of perception that you're always in danger, because then it will get more people to buy their clothes. As bleak and cynical as that is, you can't refute that. They want people to buy their clothes, so to do that, they have to sell this world where a woman's always in danger of being raped.
True. I guess that's true.
I really don't think, I mean, you obviously can't tell anything from these promotional videos. I think the ideas behind it are noble. I really don't think this is something where they were like, oh, hey, let's cash in on, you know, fear that women are going to get raped. The way they describe it, there's a lot of thought and a lot of work that goes into it. I just don't think that they're taking into effect other factors or even thinking about them. You know, everything that we've talked about between ambulatory needs, possible increase of violence. They talk about, you know, other protection methods like pepper spray or tasers can be taken away and turned back on the woman. So more than likely, I would think, I get the feeling that somebody behind the scenes in this project has been attacked or knows people that have been attacked. I just really get that feeling. And again, I think it's a noble idea. Their intentions are good. I really believe that. But I really don't think they're taking into effect all of the factors. And it just really seems like their research on studies show and this and that, they just went off of this one article because that's the only thing that they cite. And it's more so a paper and the evolution. And I just don't think it's being presented fully or thought about fully. And I was looking and I didn't find any kind of contact or feedback or whatever. And I'd really kind of like to contact them and maybe bring these things to light to see what they say about it.
Because the way I look at it, I agree with both of you. The idea is in the right place. I don't think they're looking at this from a malicious standpoint. That said, though, they really didn't think this through. And I think that's the bigger issue, is they went forward before they thought this through. The medical thing, you cannot get around. They don't even pretend to address that.
They may have not thought of it at all.
Which, again, brings me to, they did not think this through. It's a good idea, but it needs more R&D, I think, before going to market. And this comes to market July of this year. is when the clothes hit the shelves. I see once these hit the shelves, the guy ends up just killing her out of frustration, and then their family sues AR Anti-Rape Wear because they just exacerbated the situation and made it worse. That, yes, I'm not trying to say rape, oh, it's okay to be raped, but would you rather be raped or raped and killed?
Let me pose a question. Is this a step in the right direction? Even if it's not the best idea ever, is this good? Is this like, you know, this is like the prototype, and maybe one day it'll be right, and maybe one day they'll get anti-rape clothing that somehow magically does what it's supposed to do without endangering your life somehow. Are we taking a step in the right direction by thinking about this?
I think we are, yes. Like I said, the idea is good. It just needs more R&D. This should not be on the market in 6 months.
But there is no way that you can get around the issues that this has. Even though it's a prototype, if you're going to have an item that can't be cut and can't be removed easily, everything that we've talked about that is a plausible problem, you can't get around, because the whole point of this is that they can't remove it. So whether it's a prototype, whether, you know what I mean, the point is it's supposed to be difficult. So no matter what they do to it, it's going to have those same issues that we've just talked about.
So even though we got a little bit dark and cynical at the end there, where can we find the cat?
You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/labyrinthcat. And you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdistcat. And then you can find me over on That Guy with the Glasses on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, under the podcast tab.
So, Jillian, what about you? Now that you're back, people still want to contact you. Where can they do so?
I don't know. I think I got replaced. I feel like a guest.
You didn't get replaced.
No. I mean, in the hearts of the listeners, we're like, who knew?
Maybe.
I think so. Yeah, cat's always been awesome. But anywho, you can find me on Twitter at The Mistress J. You can find me on Facebook under my name, Jillian Swarovski, thecinemasnob.com, and occasionally on geekjuicemedia.com. And it's probably been a while since it's been mentioned, but What the Fuck does have a Facebook page if you go facebook.com/talkwhat.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. I'm also at Geek Juice Media as well. Have a good night, guys.
He bought a sterilized iPhone to shoot a sex machine drug. It got 24 hours. Didn't understand.
Johnny hit and run, Polly. Johnny hit and run, Polly. Johnny hit and run, Polly. Johnny hit and run, Polly.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.